Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Jason Bourne, four babies. That's right, we saw Abduction, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by the fantastic June Diane Raphael.
Hi, Paul.
And the equally amazing Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up?
How are you?
Pretty
I was going to call you adorable.
I'll take it.
And I stuttered on that.
I'll take it.
we have a very special
I would like
guest.
To be described only as adorable and or cuddly in the future.
We are joined by a very special guest. You know her from her podcast here on the Earwolf Network called Rana and Bev. Please welcome Jessica Chaffin.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We are very excited to talk about...
Hello.
I'm very demure. That's who I'll be
so
for
precious.
30 seconds.
Guys... Abduction, John Singleton, the director of Boys in the Hood, directs Taylor Lautner in a movie that I feel like it's a demo reel for an actor to be like, I could be an action star. Like everything is like, it's like paint by numbers or something.
Right, except that they hired a director who can't direct action at all.
No. At all.
At all.
And you spend the entire movie waiting for more action.
but they try to make like Taylor Lautner to be the coolest guy, like opening scene, like he's on the hood of a truck that's like speeding down the highway. He's like, yeah,
go faster, man, go faster.
It's like the most generic. He's like, we got bitches waiting for us.
Yeah.
Go, baby, go. It's like, what are we?
And I don't know what
to?
Happened with that friend, but he's there for a minute, and then only
the white guy,
who I'll call Blackie.
Oh, black guy comes in and out.
No, well, black guy comes in and out
because he actually has a part. The other guy's gone.
Yeah, the black guy has a part because being the black guy in that town, he has an illegal business that
Correct.
He runs, which
Correct.
Is making fake IDs.
And he
Correct.
Fires guns 3 to 4 times
three
a week.
3 to 4 times a week. because he's a virgin, yeah. What else is he going to do?
3 to 4 times a yeah. week, on average.
The opening is so stiff. It's like robots acting like in human relationships.
Yes.
It's like, great party. I enjoy people and I enjoy parties. Don't we have fun drinking?
Guys, I forgot. We're all going to the Pirates game. Yeah. Cheers!
Clink. And also,
and
6 hours later, these tickets are burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah.
It was like the party was already over.
Oh, totally. This it's not since Teen Wolf, the first Teen Wolf, has there been a scene.
Don't you say a bad word. Don't you say a bad word.
Teenagers ride atop a car.
I will give Taylor Lautner credit, though, for that opening scene stunt where he flew off the car.
He did it.
Oh, he did that.
That was all him.
Does all his own stunts. But I do feel like whenever they were giving notes on this script, they were like, they think that people may not be thinking he's extreme enough. Can we add something in this scene? Can we get him more extreme?
Actually thought, though, this was a fatal flaw of the movie. Like,
because
I feel he should have started off as this kid who was, like, kind of a nerd.
Yeah.
Like, kind of
revealed to be a badass?
Who can't get the girl, who then has to go through this journey of, like...
Well, but they do... This is the problem. They sort of muddy it. They set it up that way. That, like, first of all, he's cool with these friends, but then they're like, hey, freak. Like,
right, they call him
right,
but there's no reason to call him freak.
The only reason he's a freak is because he has T-Rex arms, as far as I can see. He has the weirdest body.
He has, you mean McConaughey arms?
There are a lot of Neanderthal qualities going on.
And honestly, it looks like he doesn't know what to do with those muscles.
Well, he has his body. He's one of those people that I look at, and it's like, I find him hideously unattractive, but I understand that somewhere in that, like, if you shook up the DNA and you spit it out, like, he has a gorgeous cousin somewhere. Like, there are pieces.
Well, it's like the sketch
of him. I see what
him,
other people
see. The sketch
see.
Of him we saw later on,
yes.
The mock-up
not
sketch,
bad.
Was not a bad looking guy.
He looks like, and, I mean, look, he looks a little bit like a really tough Monchichi, like those little wind-up dolls that hit, like, the cymbal.
There was so much,
you mean,
much,
oh,
like,
so soft and cuddly, with its thumb in its mouth, it's really sweet.
Love
fun
you
to
tickle
its little feet.
La la la, la la la, la la la, happy happy Monchichi.
Great
that
work.
Was amazing.
Great work.
There was so much like acting through eyebrows in this movie.
Well,
like,
so much so that John Singleton puts a camera just on eyebrows, or like where it's just their eyes. Remember well, that scene?
The main girl's eyebrows.
Her eyebrows are fabulous.
They're amazing. But
she's Brooke Shields redo.
Yes, except she has no sexuality to her. Like,
what
there's
is she?
No...
What are you talking about? She wears a half shirt.
I'm gonna debunk something right now.
Oh boy,
do it!
I have no idea.
Boy.
I have no idea whether it needs debunking.
Debunk it.
But I am not afraid to call a minor a homosexual.
Get ready for a debunk.
Taylor Lautner is completely gay.
No, that's his real life girlfriend.
He is,
but that doesn't
what does that mean
anything.
Who are you? He is completely.
He used to go out with Taylor Swift.
He is completely
just like
gay.
That other not gay guy, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Taylor and Taylor. He's completely gay. Like, there isn't an ounce of chemistry other than...
I would also argue there's not much chemistry between him and anyone in the movie.
Is that debunking, or are you just outing Taylor Lautner?
If you think he isn't, I'm debunking that he is. That's how I put that together. But he's totally gay. And she is Phil Collins' daughter.
Oh, really?
The drummer. Yes.
Wait,
you fools!
You define Phil Collins?
Nothing?
You define Phil Collins as a drummer?
You define him as more?
I define him as the singer of Sussudio. Not the drummer of The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
I define him as
the actor.
He is
the drummer from Genesis. He was a drummer / singer.
No, he was a drummer.
A rare combo.
He was a drummer when Peter Gabriel was the singer.
Yes,
and
true.
Then he became
that's
the
true.
Singer. And Chester Thompson.
And
became.
I don't know
I define him as the
is.
Actor from Buster. Really great.
And Miami
movie.
Vice.
And Miami Vice.
Amazing.
So basically, Taylor Lautner gets drunk at this party, and he comes home, and his dad's like, ready to fight to the death.
Oh, amazing.
Well, he gets so drunk at this party that he passes out on the lawn.
Without a shirt on.
Without a shirt on.
Thank God.
Shirt's off at like 4 minutes into this movie.
The shirt is off any chance it gets.
Yeah.
I kept wanting him to turn into a werewolf. I kept
it
thinking
been awesome.
Oh, dude, you got to turn into a werewolf.
All right, I don't want to
get him angry. You
I don't
want to
get ahead of ourselves here, but the wolf thing, here's what I love. When they're in the house, after the fighting with the dad, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, we'll go back. But they're in the house, and he has, and everything, it's Pittsburgh, but it looks like Vancouver.
Canada,
yeah.
So you still think you're in Twilight, and all the houses are like modern and glass and stuff. And he has like super wolf hearing, and he hears her having a fight with her boyfriend across the street.
When he's in his bedroom.
He steps outside like a weirdo to be like, I'm now fully listening to your conversation. Yeah. And then when his parents are being murdered in the house downstairs and his mother is having the craziest kung fu action fight of all time, which I was like, why did they do this movie? And then I was like, oh, fun. That looks like fun.
Maria Bello, I want to see that movie.
He doesn't hear it.
No,
he doesn't hear anything.
People are fucking, like the whole house is being destroyed by like a kick-ass kung fu sequence, and he's just up in his room just chilling out. But luckily, he did train.
He's laying out his forensic evidence on his bed.
Oh, we did jump ahead. Sorry, we got to go back.
We got to go back.
So basically, the father trains Taylor Lautner every day, and they don't like spar. They fucking fight.
He
like,
beats the shit out of him.
Yes.
Yeah, like head punches.
Which I was giggling through.
Yeah, and then Maria Bello's inside, and she just goes to nobody because she's inside alone.
Sure.
My boys. My boys.
Literally, the father is like clocking him in the head.
He kicks him in the sternum.
Yeah, and he goes.
I mean, he practically like collapses his
head. To the point where he starts vomiting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
he goes, if you go
to be fair, it was a dry heaving.
No, there was a wet. That was something that annoyed me, actually, because they added wet sounds.
But it was
of,
a dry
But
heave.
You can see him not throwing
right.
up. And I was like, come on.
Debunked.
I won't
debunked.
Drink that mushroom soup if you want me to
I don't think you're
it.
Using
debunked.
Debunked.
You debunked that.
She debunked
well
it.
Done.
Then he goes to his therapist, you know, because the therapist goes,
oh my God,
you're doing
Sigourney
really
Weaver.
Good on your. Oh, Sigourney. There's a lot of people in this movie that you're like.
There's a lot of people in this movie that you're really wondering why they're here.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess.
Bills to pay.
Well, no, I think what it was too is like people are like, you're gonna be doing a movie with a kid from Twilight. It's gonna be huge. It's a franchise. It's a new Jason Bourne. You're gonna be. This is gonna be great. And
is
you know,
it? Are they doing another one? Is it? Another
I mean,
one?
I think the idea would be that if
I think it, they thought it was, and then it fucking tanked.
Then it got 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
How
and
did
things
it make,
changed?
Did it make dough?
It made a little bit of money. I actually have it right here.
I'm dying to know what the budget was of this film.
Well, you want to take a guess?
Because I'm convinced the city of Pittsburgh paid for the entire movie.
The production budget was $35 million.
Yeah.
in the right. in but in the USA it made 28. Ooh. But where it was a big success was overseas, where it made 82 million
nice.
Dollars.
Twilight.
Yeah, right. That's Twilight it. Effect, Twilight.
Wow. People so it made over $100 million.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it's a huge hit.
Interesting.
For
that's
foreigners.
Crazy.
And he
because they don't speak the English.
Yeah.
They, so what's the difference?
They're just looking at the weird the weirdo.
Yeah, they're like I'll look at that T-Rex like all day long.
I'd like to make a movie with him, Matthew McConaughey, and Rachel Ray. All of whom have way too short arms.
Well, basically, Sigourney Weaver's like, your insomnia, impulsivity, and rage issues, you're getting better with those. And he's like, yeah. His voice is so weird. He's like, I put the anger away and chill. Like, he's
yeah.
like,
yeah, yeah.
So and then he
like,
goes, by the way, then he goes, I still have the dreams.
Yes.
And I was like, oh boy, here we go.
But I still insomnia have the dreams. And rage don't usually go no. hand in hand. Like, I don't know what that diagnosis is.
Well, June, I mean, but that's a loaded statement. I mean,
debunk it.
You want to take no, a stab at debunking it?
No, I just mean like.
Get ready to be taken to the debunking.
Is it that you don't know because you're not a psychoanalyst, or is it just that you just don't
well,
know?
Just from what I've heard of rage issues and insomnia, like, well, I you watch think you like erotic.
I don't know either, but I'm not.
I'm so rageful, I cannot sleep.
Exactly.
You
does
think
that
of it,
makes sense to me?
I think June thinks of it like,
punching
I'm
walls.
So rageful that I now I need to take a nap.
I'm exhausted.
I'm tired.
I'm
I've been beating.
Yeah.
Like the Hulk. Like, I need a nap now. I just destroyed a couple things.
Passed out on a
wait,
lawn.
You know what we skipped over? Before he goes to his therapist, yeah. he and his parents have dinner. He's
oh,
cleaning
he
up.
He loves them.
He is watching them like get it on.
Yeah.
And
oh,
is
yeah.
like,
ew.
And yeah.
He has
and
the weird
like,
giggle in the kitchen.
Did
about,
anybody else notice, though, that there's this weird thing where there will be moments in the movie where some people have dialogue and then they'll cut to him? Like, they did this at the friend scene in the
off,
party.
There's a lot of off-screen. Blackie,
there's,
all his
yeah, but there's
off
all
screen.
This dialogue, but then
really
when
not
they're
sure
on
about
Taylor,
calling him Blackie.
Please don't. When they're
the
on Taylor, though,
do
he doesn't say anything. Like, there's no filling in the silence. Did anybody else notice this, or was this just me?
You mean there's sort of
like,
a come
no,
to him,
like,
there's a come to him energy about the
I just feel like
acts.
There was so much empty space. Like in that scene where they're at the party, both of the friends are talking and laughing and making jokes. Then they cut to him. He's silent.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything.
Because he's like a robot.
It's the
he
weirdest
doesn't
thing.
Know
it's
what
like,
to do.
Right. Exactly.
He
that's
does
what feels
look
like
uncomfortable.
He's an actor.
He does
who's
look
like,
uncomfortable.
He's an actor who's like, I don't have dialogue. I can't say anything.
We haven't even gotten to the Missing Kids website yet.
That
we
have, is my favorite.
We have so far
you
to
mean,
go.
You
the
mean
movie,
the coincidence that
the
entire
movie is
movie
predicated on a massive coincidence yes. that makes no sense.
Well, maybe see, you didn't hear Alfred Molina mention the fact that one of their traps had sprung. that was a
one
trap.
No, no, not Alfred Molina. The Brighton Beach gangsters.
No, I know, but when they're at the FBI headquarters, headquarters, he's explaining how everything unfolded, and he says they set a number of traps and one of them sprung.
Wait, now, so, like, what is that though? Like, he doesn't go looking for anything.
They're
he's
teaching
given,
sociology in high school. Let's start there.
And of course,
there.
Their project is missing children. All of the projects for class, the team ups of the class kids are like crime related.
Yes, and they get the missing persons one. They're on a website and they're just having such a great time laughing at all the missing children.
Yes.
Like, look at this one. He
yes.
looks like Justin Bieber meets
that was
Lady
Ryan,
Gaga.
Ryan Seacrest meets Lady Gaga.
They're
like
laughing.
They are
These
mocking.
Kids are missing.
They are mocking.
They've been taken from their moms and their dads at a young age.
I almost turned it off
that's
right
like,
then.
They were like,
so
you know
offended.
What we need is like, we need
I
that
was,
scene.
I was missing once.
We
I
need
missed.
A scene like that
missed.
Annie Hall scene where they're sitting on the park bench and like talking about who the people are. We need
yeah,
one of those
exactly.
to show them falling in love. we'll make it about missing persons. Great.
And they have like, and terrible. So the website, even the idea of the website, I don't think this exists, but they show a young picture and then they morph it into where they would look now.
That does exist.
Oh,
that
does
exist.
Exist.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Do you know that for sure? There's another one here.
No,
right?
No, that
no,
definitely
that,
exists. I've
that's
seen it.
I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Are you lying?
First of all,
is this a lie?
Don't
First
try to
all,
debunk this. Do not try to debunk this.
If that technology does not exist, this whole universe needs to reexamine themselves.
Yeah.
Let's start
or
there.
Or this movie is
but
worth
B,
it.
But B, that it, of course it exists. That's yeah. how they always say, like, this kid might look like this 20 years
okay,
old.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So,
like on a
yeah,
milk carton,
and like
you could
Whitey,
see that.
What's his face? They age.
Whitey Bulger,
from pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically, he randomly finds himself on a website that wasn't even the main missing persons website.
No.
A, like, assigned...
It also has a live chat function, which I think
yes,
is
of course.
24 hours.
I can't get Bank of America to respond to me in a chat window, but somebody's
but it
waiting
was a
on
trap.
The, on the
it was a
it
trap.
It was a trap.
And it was sprung.
It was a trap that was sprung in Brighton Beach. They have these Brighton Beach gangsters that are running a bunch of these website traps.
Which is a very murky
just,
line between Serbian and Russian.
But
in this
wait,
film,
yes. just to
make.
Catch him?
Just to catch him on
just,
the off
just
to
catch
but on the
him?
On the off chance that his father, like, because also the idea is the reason
what?
Why.
Wait a minute, what is their plan?
But here's the thing:
they should have like, spent that. They should have spent that time and energy just looking for him.
Well, in
just looking
in fairness
him.
To them,
we
they
will
don't...
build websites for missing children, and maybe he will stumble upon it as part of a school project, so, and then we will find our way to him, and he will call in for the live chat, and then we'll be able to yeah. pinpoint his location.
Now,
right?
But in now fairness that... to them, they've only been looking for 10 days.
Oh, that's only
the
for 10 days?
No.
This,
no.
Is, this is what's crazy.
Debunk.
This is what's crazy.
I thought this had been set up for
in
years.
His, no, in his scene when he has every person in America come to CIA headquarters
yes.
to let them in on the top secret thing that
and
only three
all
people are supposed
in,
to
like,
know about.
Yeah, they're all sitting in kindergarten
I'm
chairs
telling
at the CIA.
You, I'm telling you that Pittsburgh paid for this movie because there's no shortage of extras. Like, and there are a thousand
the Pirates
people.
Game, I was impressed.
That stadium has never been full in its entire life. There's 1,000 people
by
standing
there. By the
way, there.
Pittsburgh, the most unclassy city, too.
You know what? It's like... It looks beautiful. It looks. They made it look beautiful.
It did look
it
great,
look,
actually.
It
yeah.
looked like somewhere I'd want to visit. But he says to them, he says, 10 days ago, Martin Price, or whatever the
yeah,
father's
yeah.
name
Price.
Was, Martin Price stole a file of information
right.
from this guy that I can't remember, but it was like, it had... People that had been on the take, is
like
that what it was?
Yeah, like a knock list or something.
It's
like, yeah.
basically
yes.
double agents.
Politicians
yeah.
that had been on the take or given
yes.
information or whatever. He says 10 days ago, this happened.
But the
they're
guy that he says,
no,
the bad guy.
No, they're trying to find this kid.
They've been trying to find the kid for
the
2 years
yeah.
though, because they found out about the kid 2 years ago.
Wait.
As part
a
of a
second.
Computer hacking
yes.
scandal.
Right, because they've been trying to
what?
Bust this kid. I think
they did get a hit on him 2 years ago
yes.
as part of a computer hacking
you see,
scandal.
That's what I just said.
You're correct.
But you see,
correct.
Part of what it is, makes it so
debunked.
Crazy.
What
debunked.
Was that hacking scandal,
guys,
though?
Part what about. Okay.
Part and
of what
and if they knew where he was for 2 years, what
they didn't know where he was.
They got a hit on his computer.
No, they found out he existed. They found out the guy asks, how do they know this kid exists? And they're like, we think they found out about him 2 years ago.
And then they set up multiple traps to
yes.
then narrow
and
it down.
And one of them apparently
how did they
sprung.
Find out
yes.
about him 2 years
computer
ago?
Hacking scandal.
What are you not? You just said it.
My point is, if they know he exists.
No, they
why
hacked,
don't they know where he is?
They hacked the CIA. They didn't hack the kid.
Oh, and the CIA had a little note that was like,
Martin Price has a son.
They were not worried about this because they were like,
how could the CIA have had that file? The only people that
cares?
Were Sigourney Weaver.
Why are you fighting with us?
But my question is...
I demand a sequel. I demand a sequel.
I debunk you.
Well, they ultimately, yes, the premise is incredibly flawed because ultimately the bad guy who's setting these traps only really would want this kid... Now, because the father sold the document 10 days ago. It's not like they've been enemies.
They have been arch-enemies.
No, they
oh, they have been.
Remember,
oh,
the guy killed his mother.
Of course, of course,
out.
Of course. You're right.
Yeah, no,
right.
They're arch-enemies.
But if these guys can hack into the CIA, they can hack into any phone system,
they're
any hospital.
Good.
They're very good.
They're very good.
Why
instantaneously.
Couldn't they, why couldn't they have hacked into
everywhere.
That phone that had the files on it?
Of course. Also,
oh, I see
also who texts themselves?
I'm sure it's
themselves,
a special thing.
Who texts themselves okay. top secret information and leaves
and
it in an unlocked drawer in their
he
apartment?
Why keep it on his person?
Guys, we're getting
okay,
ahead of.
Okay.
We're trying to make logic of the nonsensical plot. Basically, all you have to find out is that he finds out that he might be a missing kid.
This is 30 minutes into the movie. We've watched
minutes.
Him
it's
party
so
and
yeah.
watch his parents grope
so
each other
yes.
for 30 minutes.
Yeah. It takes
now,
so long.
And by the way,
and they
this,
don't have jobs.
My favorite reaction.
Lawnmowers.
My favorite reaction is this: like when they first look at the missing person website, they're like fast forwarding all the kids to 17 years later, 17 years later, 17 years later, and then they go, they find this one image. And
they
go,
only do it with
oh,
two kids.
Oh, sorry.
He's the second kid.
He's the second.
They
go,
find.
And they go,
no,
you look
serious?
Like this guy looks like a combination between Matt Damon. Call out to Bourne Identity
yeah.
and you,
yeah.
and then they don't fast forward that kid until she leaves, and then he's like sitting looking at it. He's really looking at it, and then he like hits the fast forward button, and then his reaction to it is like he saw a ghost. And he jumps backwards.
He wheels back in his chair.
Like, and like rolls like away from it.
The computer got hot real fast.
Yeah, and he's like, and he looks at it like, oh God, oh God, oh God.
And then the most implausible thing in the world happens, which is he goes immediately to the storage container where they keep his baby clothes.
No, it wasn't even storage container. It was a dresser. 17-year-old
boy knows where his baby clothes are.
To me, it was a dresser that they did. It seemed like, okay, well, he's done being 3 years old. We'll bring this entire dresser with its contents up to the attic. It was so like, it was like, oh, here it is. And it was like it was like,
let's not take the stuff out. Let's just move the entire thing.
We moved that dresser
thing
up there.
And then he basically asks his girlfriend about it. He asks his buddy.
She's not the girlfriend yet.
Not his girlfriend. The girlfriend, by the way, breaks up with her boyfriend. And how do we know? Because she...
Oh, my God.
She goes and takes a life-size like movie poster of the two of them down and then rips it in half.
She is a girl...
Right to camera.
She's a girl.
Right
to camera. She's a girl in high school who all of her posters and pictures are on her ceiling.
Are we?
All on her ceiling.
All of them are on her ceiling.
I have two questions about that. What question and a comment. One, are we meant to believe that she and her boyfriend fuck looking at pictures of themselves on the ceiling?
Yes.
Was it pictures of themselves?
It was them as a couple.
Big poster was.
And it was like,
and also,
I think you need a Kinko's printer, by the way, to get a picture of that.
Yeah, yes, of course you do.
I'm going to come out and say that right now.
So they sent a JPEG to themselves.
Maybe there was a flash drive. I don't know.
Okay. It might not have been a JPEG. Who knows? Okay.
Could have been a flash drive. Could have been a TIFF.
It could have been a GIF.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, do we talk about how the dad thought the girl was hot? He's like, she's kind of hot.
I was
like,
oh,
the 15-year-old? Yes. You're going to be...
Guys, she was fucking hot.
Hey, she's Phil Collins'
daughter. She's Phil Collins' kid. Imagine the hotness of Phil Collins, but with hair. and titties.
Here's who I think the unsung hero of this film is from now and on. The set decorator. I have never seen such work. The production designer, whatever, their rooms were decorated within like an inch of their lives. The gypsy camp that they happen upon.
Yeah. Oh my God, just to get clothing.
To get a perfect patchwork blanket. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Oh my God. When they're escaping and they're getting that patchwork blanket, it's about like the pacing of it is like a fuck scene. Like they're about ready to like have sex, but they're just really going slowly down to like lay down together. Yeah. They're like, there's no kiss, there's no anything.
Because he's gay.
So then,
they just say like, "Do you want to go to sleep?" Like, yeah, let's go to sleep.
Well, we needed that scene so we know he cries in his sleep.
We're so far ahead of ourselves though, because we still haven't even talked about the fact that when he finally confronts his mother, she is not his mother, and she's like, "Okay, I'll tell you the truth. I just have to go get your father."
Yeah,
assassins arrive,
and
then they kill the parents. And then,
the dad just happens to be in the garage.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
The dad just happens to be in the garage working on a lawnmower with a hammer.
No, with a saw at that point.
Now he's on a buzzsaw, late at night too.
Like a 7 o'clock, let's fix the lawnmower.
The neighbors would be like, hey, Jason Isaacs, how about you don't use your machine shop in the middle of the night?
He's a frustrated CIA agent. He's an inactive operator.
So the assassins show up. They kill the parents.
Yes.
And then
the parents were kind of the best part. Like, those parents should have stayed alive.
I have to admit something. For the first time in How Did This Get Made history, when Maria Bello died, I cried a little. I was like, what?
Whoa.
I got emotional because I cared so much about Maria Bello for some reason.
Were you on your period?
Wow.
I was on my man period. I had man PMS. But the guy is like...
I thought that she wasn't...
Wow.
I think you need to go talk to Sigourney Weaver.
I seriously do.
About your insomnia and your anger.
Well, you know, I said to June, like, I got a little bit, like, when she got killed, I was like, oh, she's not dead. Like, they just gave a tranquil dart or something.
No, she's dead.
And then it was like pew, pew,
silencer, you know, I guess
it was silencer, but it was like, it was a pretty shocking moment. Yeah.
Then
I was confused about that too, because I thought, I didn't know about the blood, the PG-13 blood thing.
Then Jacob goes up to the guy and says, who sent you? Who are you? Who are you with? And he goes, I'll tell you everything you want to know, but there's a bomb in the oven. And I was like, what now?
And I don't want to die here.
I don't want to die here, he says. They go to the oven and there is a bomb in there.
Oh, a Looney Tunes style bomb. Yeah. Like it is like,
who put that bomb in the oven?
With a clock radio as the detonator.
Who put that bomb in the oven for real?
The assassins may have done it as one of like a
side thing. They didn't have time.
Well, off camera. That must have happened off camera. But also,
by the way, I just said before that guy, like when he's before he starts to torture, he tortures that guy by taking like a fireplace poker and fucking whacking this guy in the nuts like three times, like, and you hear it like whack,
and then the guy, leg.
Yeah, I don't think it was his like, nuts.
Oh, okay. All right, because he recovered from a nut shot really well.
But here's my question. Like, so that guy, when he said there's a bomb in the oven, I don't want to die here, he was really thinking, like, Jacob's going to take this bomb out, and I'm going to get out of here.
No, he was like, take me out of here, because I don't want to die here. But then what I would do if I knew there was a bomb in the oven after two people had been assassinated in my house, I was like, let's go look at it.
Yeah, let's go look at the bomb.
There's a shark in the pool. Oh, my God. Let's go look at it. It was retarded.
Get out of the house.
The fucking house blows up.
6 seconds left.
I did like that scene, though, when they jumped in the pool. And
the pool was cool.
That was cool.
That was
if
really
the movie
cool.
had somebody else realistic. In it, yeah. it would be pretty.
There was a lot of debris.
There was a couple of okay action things that I enjoyed.
But by the way, before we get to that.
But what? There were only a couple.
But here is a strange moment, though. Here is a strange moment.
Stop screaming at me.
It's supposed to be
Can
an
we
action
not fight?
Movie. I wanted more action.
Okay, when Jacob, right before the parents are assassinated, Jacob's on the phone with Karen.
Bella.
Eyebrows.
Can we call her Bella?
Yeah. Sure. Bella, faux Bella.
Yeah.
Has gone home to change into fleeing gear, whatever she's going to need to
right.
wear
she
now.
Was so just over, she was just right?
Wearing, she was just wearing an off-the-shoulder white cotton t-shirt so that their skin would touch.
Okay, now
and
her
now she's
uncle's...
changed into her gear so they can flee eventually at the end of the scene.
So her uncle's coming over, which I think is also why she wants to go. That's a pretense
she
of why she wants
to go.
She's
well, yeah, she literally says, she says, okay. My uncle needs to check up on me. Let's meet in an hour. And I, like,
and then,
so, like,
but
she,
then he says, which is so weird. I think it's later on when she calls, when he hears something going on, he says, come over, but come through the side door,
back
okay?
Door.
Bye.
Back door.
Side door.
Side door.
Side door. Never.
Never heard
nothing,
of side
door. Well, no, but nothing comes of that. There's no.
No, she comes. She comes and watches
no,
the parents
she arrives,
get killed.
But she comes to the front door
no, no.
and watches
no,
all of
No, she comes to the side door.
It's actually the back door.
Where the pool is.
They have sliding glass doors in the back.
There are so many things to pinpoint and talk about in this movie, and we are.
This is pointless. This is like the most pointless piece of.
Let's just get
this movie is so interesting to talk about, and we're talking about the layers, the blueprint.
Balloons.
I do want to talk about this one part where so now the bad guy knows that they got Jason Bourne baby and he's coming from wherever he is in Europe to Pittsburgh to kill him or kidnap him. He comes to the airport in a white shirt and then immediately gets into the car and is like, oh, gotta take off this white shirt and put on my black tee.
Yeah,
like it was like the weirdest like. What, was he so uncomfortable in the white button-down shirt that he needs to get on that black
tee?
No,
they want you to understand that he's not a businessman, he's a gangster.
I also, because he has the Russian tattoo.
It's actually, I guess, Serbian, because they say he's Serbian later, but I thought it was a Russian tattoo.
Well, same.
He has gangster tattoos.
It kind of looks like the Fremont tattoo from Old Dogs, if you guys are paying attention to Old Ebrows.
How about the scene when the guy gets there and there is just a revolving door and just one bad guy out? It's a quick cut through assassins walking through a revolving door.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, this
oh, my
is
God.
Hilarious.
The greatest, when they all meet up at the Radisson.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. When they're like, they're all in the lobby of the Radisson.
I just wanted it to almost be like, bam, 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 chicka, bam, 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 bam. Like, just like one bad guy after another, like slow-mo walking through a revolving door. I was like, this is ridiculous.
I know we want to move on and everything, but what do you guys think that paper on missing children's was going to be like? Like, what were they supposed to write on?
What? I cannot believe that you were talking about the paper. We haven't even gotten into the main plot.
We haven't gotten to the hospital. The balloons. We are all talking at the same time all the time.
The balloons. It's all about the balloons.
The forum is going to explode on how much we're talking at the same time.
I am going to take 15 seconds of not talking so that the show can move forward.
So they go to the hospital to find out, like, I guess, I don't even know why they go to the hospital.
She's hurt. She's hurt in the explosion with the oven bomb.
We never see her wound again, by the way.
That was not 15 seconds.
But she is chumming the water
by the way,
in the pool.
Not 15 seconds.
Okay, it starts now.
They go to the hospital, and and he calls up, and immediately he calls up 911, but the CIA is tracking that hospital
phone. Who knows?
Because they're on it. They're on it immediately. Everyone on the phones
voice
in this movie
makes
voice
recognition software.
Everyone's
Still
able to hack into.
And starting now.
So basically, like, it's Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2, and he's like, hey, stay where you are. We're the CIA. We're going to protect you. And he immediately is not going to trust them, and instead of hanging up the phone, lets it hang. So if they want to trace the phone, they'll have an easier time.
They know where he is at that point, which is crazy.
Trust has to be earned.
So, and the craziest moment is when he's walking away from that phone, there's a shot of the TV where there's a news channel on where they're covering the house being on fire, but they make a very specific point of saying nobody was there, the people were away.
Yes.
But the extras are reacting to it like,
yeah, they react
faces
as if
to, like, yeah, like,
they,
like,
they were watching footage of 9/11. They're like, whoa, a house blew up and no one was hurt. What?
Meanwhile, these people are also in the emergency room.
Yeah, like something terrible has happened.
They have more pressing concerns.
Yeah,
like, don't. How
not.
About not watching TV, guys?
Yeah.
Like, care about your loved ones who's in the emergency.
How about that?
How about that?
Write a paper on that.
How about that? And meanwhile, Bella is just getting a Band-Aid.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They basically just put a Band-Aid on Bella's arm.
I think Bella's like kind of a hypochondriac, because later on in the movie when they're running through the woods, she's like, there's a long shot of them running, and then she's like, I gotta stop. I just gotta stop and catch my breath.
Catch my breath.
She actually says,
catch a breath. And I was like, who says catch a breath?
She also insists on interrupting their lovemaking to get them a snack.
Yeah.
Because she's
hungry.
She has she has very primal urges.
She's hungry for cock.
Apparently not.
We got to get to that sex scene.
Ham sandwiches.
So Sigourney Weaver, you know, pulls him out of the hospital. She's going to, like, I'm going to tell you everything that's going on.
Don't you dare blow by the balloons.
I'm not going
to. Don't you even
think about it. I have it right here. I have it right here.
It's the craziest shot ever.
That's the How Did This Get Made shot.
Sigourney Weaver hiding behind a bouquet of balloons.
He's so big.
Jacob is walking down the hallway and just a huge thing of balloons walks up next to him. That's what's happening.
It's almost terrifying.
In a wink to Trading Places.
Yeah.
Do you know where the bar car is?
So many balloons,
and then she finally is like...
Reveals herself,
so like, come with me. He's like, all right, I'll come with you. And then she goes, I hate balloons.
Yeah.
And then, like, releases them to block a camera, because the CIA is also into this hospital security camera.
Not Oliver Platt says, I want access to every security camera in that hospital. And they're like, we got it. What?
Got it. Instantaneously. So now Sigourney Weaver sets up the plan. This is just to get a level of the intense drama. Here you go.
Who are you, really?
I'm one of your keepers, Nathan. I'm put in place to look after you. It's the arrangement I made with your father, in case something like this ever happened.
This is crazy! Call the police or something!
I already tried.
She has heard too much already.
What?
Are you serious?
As soon as you can, dump those clothes.
Don't lose that kid!
Now, in less than 20 seconds, we're gonna hit a soft curve before the bridge. I'm gonna slow down just enough for you to jump out.
Jump?
It's 30 feet down to the river.
Dr. Bennett, this is insane.
15 seconds. And remember, from now on, do not trust anybody.
I need answers.
You've been looking for answers your whole life. You just didn't know what questions to ask.
What? She's like, hey, is there a different line I can say here? Because that makes no sense.
5 seconds to open that door.
I can handle this.
5 seconds. Leave the girl. You're better off alone.
True.
Very true.
Take a breath.
Jump.
It's going to be okay.
No.
Catch your breath.
Boom, and that is the exciting...
Get me a glass of water.
But before they get in this car and they're even walking down the hallway...
What kind of car
Jacob
is this?
Bella...
It's a BMW X3.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Jacob, Bella, and Sigourney and the balloons...
Gold.
Sigourney's saying to them, faster, you guys, faster! And maybe this is because of Bella's... issues with her body and how it works.
Her body issues?
I thought it was crazy that neither of them could keep up with Sigourney Weaver.
Well, I think Sigourney Weaver read the rest of the script and was like, I need to get out of this movie as quick as possible. So let's go. Are we almost done? Can we get out of the scene?
I love that
the
first half of this movie is all BMWs. The second half is all Chevys.
True.
or Dodge, or whatever it is. Like, it's so fascinating.
Again, though, when they discover that car at the apartment, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, BMW 1 Series.
Yeah, and a big smile. Everyone you know is dead.
That's the cheapest BMW they have.
Everyone you know is dead.
Your parents were killed in front of your eyes.
Yeah, and he's like, nice ride.
Nice ride.
You're not parents. But let's remember they're teenagers.
Well, Kevin and Mara were... To him, mom and dad.
Yeah.
For his entire
life. Well, then they are his mom and dad.
It might have been nice of him if he had asked them if he was abducted.
Well,
it never even occurred to him to say, excuse me, do you have an explanation for this?
I mean, here's my favorite part. like when
Kevin
he like when he kind of confronts the bad guy, goes, "You killed my parents." He goes, "No, they weren't your real parents."
Like, well, fair.
Wait. But these are the parents that you know from 3 to 17. So they kind of are. Like,
this isn't demanded on
your real.
Here's the thing: even if they're not my real parents, I have feelings. For yeah,
they're not
I have
your
feelings
real
for these people.
That's really rude.
Whoever they may be,
they sleep in the woods. Jacob yes. and Bella. That's the other thing that makes
they
it.
They rob a gypsy camp.
It's really Twilighty that they spend so much time in the woods.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, by the way, it is the same woods that they use for every one of these setups.
Oh.
Up and down that same hillside every time.
Yeah.
And then, so, so basically they go to a cemetery. Oh, wait. We can get to that part.
That is a beautiful That is a beautiful cemetery. But we are not there yet.
We're not there yet. So,
we need to move quicker because we're still... It's so early in this movie.
Basically, I don't understand the geography of the movie because like they're in Pittsburgh, but then they go to like Boston,
Virginia, and then they're back in Pittsburgh.
But they first,
2 hours later.
They also try and go to Nebraska on Amtrak.
Right.
Nebraska.
Yeah, that's they go to Omaha.
Oh, that was a red herring.
They're
Frank
going to,
Rasmus
right.
Nesnes. Yeah.
They try to go to Nebraska, then abort, and I believe are just back in Pittsburgh again.
Right, and then the fattest assassin in the world joins them on the train.
Yes.
The worst casting
of
all time.
It was the German Adam McKay is the guy. You know what Adam McKay, the famous director, looks like. That's but they go to his dad's like safe house, which is like an apartment.
His dad's not there.
Dad is not there, but he goes to the closet, takes out the leather jacket of his father, his
Did
real father.
Did Sigourney Weaver give him a key?
Sigourney Weaver gave him a key on the address. What we learn is that his actual father is a super spy.
Like Jason Bourne's kid. He's like Jason Bourne. This is his kid.
We find out his dad's a super spy that he's never met. And that's
Black Ops.
And he takes the leather jacket out of the closet. And this is my favorite part. Jacob just holds it in. Sniffs it, just like just smelling that leather jacket, smelling his father, which is a werewolfy type of thing to do.
It is.
Yeah.
And then he puts on the
primal.
And basically, he puts on the leather jacket that fits his dad, which means his dad is a very small man as well.
Spoiler alert, he is.
Yes.
It's Dermot Mulroney.
Which you never really know for sure because you don't see his face.
Yes, you got to go to IMDb.
It's Dermot Mulroney. I recognized his lower face.
I recognized his lips.
I recognized his lower face. And I was like, that really takes the wind out of the sails of him being a badass black ops guy is that it's Dermot Mulroney.
Exactly.
The nose was odd.
Well, I think that that's why they didn't want to show you his whole face because, John Singleton does some great shots, like from down in the, it feels like the camera's on the floor,
angles.
Looking up in a diagonal way, close-ups of eyes.
It's like Bad Boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of Michael Bay bad boys shot stealing.
Michael Bay without the art of Michael Bay, which, there's like, it's kind of like, yeah, we'll do that kind of shot.
Well, everybody's 5'2" in this movie, so they have to, like, shoot from. I was astonished when they put up his details on the CIA board. It was like 5'9". I was like,
wait,
what does that
who?
Make her? Taylor Lautner is 5'9".
She's 4'2".
Oh, that's absurd.
Yeah.
That's just absurd.
She's 4'2".
So they go, of course. And
a leggy 4'2".
She's Snooki height.
And so they go to his dad's house. They immediately answer the phone when it rings, which they've now
no,
proven.
They don't
no,
answer
it's
the
worse
phone.
Than
she
that.
She makes an it's outgoing worse. Call oh, yes. to her uncle. You are. Has nobody seen a movie?
I saw
when you get no
I
a movie
it.
A yeah. movie
yes I've
a
seen
movie.
Movie
like when you get to a safe place
yes,
don't call anybody
don't what? Call they've been tracked
guess
the
what?
Entire movie
your uncle's phone is tapped
of
guess
course.
What dumb
that's,
dumb
that's
all
the one.
Your Facebook friends are dead
it doesn't oh, mean, yeah, it they, doesn't mean we don't even know if her uncle's phone is tapped because the phone from the apartment is tapped so when she picks up the phone
tapped.
It's like a room to room telephone to the CIA
I gotta
like
call,
the call
I gotta,
doesn't even go through.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same with the 911 call.
Yeah.
Goes straight to the
CIA.
CIA
is on the phone all the time.
CIA is using a lot of resources to hijack phone calls.
Well, this is Martin Price's son.
Yes. Well, they got to get him.
Yeah.
They got to get this knock list. And so they steal a BMW. They go to a cemetery to find the youngest child of all time working the desk at the cemetery. Like, I've been to cemeteries, and the only people who work at cemeteries are
very
old
women.
People.
Yeah.
Old women, old men, and like immigrant workers who can't speak English and could dig ditches.
All
like,
right. We don't have to. We don't
immigrant
have to,
workers.
Hey, Paul.
Immigrants.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul. Yeah, yeah. We don't need this to be. This isn't a soapbox for your anti-immigrant feelings.
You know what? I just really the immigrants are really taking down this country. They go there. They get a kid who looks like he was off of a Nickelodeon show. Like, hey, what's going on?
Pete,
like
Pete.
Wait,
Pete.
Wait, what character is that
from iCarly? I don't know. From
I got to tell you, I found this to be one of the most believable moments in the entire film.
Oh, the kid who knows
the caretaker's son who had been left at the desk, and
he was not the caretaker's son. If he was the caretaker's son, he would have been in like civilian clothes. He was like in a security uniform,
and he was able to track a delivery of a UPS flowers. Like he was like, where did these flowers come from? He's like, I can't tell you that.
He never even said, I can't tell you.
He didn't?
No. She just went right up to him and was like, if I show you my tits, will you give me some information? And it was like, or you could just ask him first and see if he says no.
You know what, though? The kid needs to see some tits.
She didn't show
He's working in a cemetery.
It was just a bushy eyebrowed wink.
Hey, Chaffin, are you farting?
I'll let you know when it's
done. What did you eat?
Now that it's finished, I can say yes to that question.
We're doing massive construction on the Earwolf Studios. We're building 7 more. Taylor Lautner now is he gets a.
By the way, we haven't even talked about the sex scene.
Well, we're getting the train. They're getting on the train.
Yeah, because I thought they were already on the train.
Thank God for fake ID kid.
Oh yeah,
he comes in with some fake ID so that they can get on Amtrak.
And I didn't even realize they were back in Pittsburgh at that point because I thought they went to some place to get
to the
dad's
Virginia.
House. And then they had to get back from Virginia so quick.
Correct.
In that car,
correct.
The BMW. Like,
yeah, they drove back to Baltimore, back to rather Pittsburgh or wherever.
It seems quick.
To pick up the IDs.
Sure.
The movie takes place within a 3.5-hour window.
Yeah. 22 hours. The whole movie takes
22 hours. And they traverse the United States.
They get back and then they get the black kid who has the illegal business of running fake IDs. They get their fake IDs.
Don't forget the hint dropped earlier that even though they lockers right next to each other.
Oh yeah!
It turns out he has all pictures of guns in his locker.
Are you joining a militia or something?
Hey, so I go to the firing range 3 to 4 times a week. I'm a virgin.
Seem like a healthy way to get your anger out. This kid is going to be like a Columbine. That's a sequel. He's going to stop this friend.
Also, there was some very unfortunate costuming at the ID exchange. That kid was in a He was wearing a pale
yellow
Izod over a t-shirt, and he had a tummy roll hanging out over the top of his jeans.
He looked real doughy.
He had that knee. He was probably even much heavier as a child because he had
He's like a holiday away from being obese.
He did. He had those weak
knees. We've
already
been calling him Blackie.
Jacob deserves
that. I'm sorry. Gilly is a much better name.
Gilly.
So they get on the train, and Taylor Lautner so far is showing again, he's a terrible secret agent because making the phone calls, and then the fat Adam McKay is standing right behind them on the train line.
Yeah.
Behind them.
It was pointless to get the fake IDs. It was pointless to do anything because the bad guys are there with you.
Yes.
And the other thing I couldn't figure out was...
Well, but he doesn't know who that guy is.
Why doesn't he... did he take his father's gun? Why doesn't he take that gun that he finds in the apartment?
I thought he had the gun too, but he didn't.
He didn't.
I think he did, because how did he have the gun at the end of the Pirates game?
That was from Gilly.
Gilly. When did Gilly go in and duct tape a gun to the bottom of the seat?
First of all, Gilly's black. So that means
Gilly
he
goes
can
to
get
the gun
guns.
Range, but yeah, where did he get
he
this gun from?
He can get guns. He's black. He can get guns. That means he also has access to all of the concessionaires, I imagine, at the Pirate Stadium.
Through what? Through black
all the
channels?
Black people that work there. So he goes in.
He goes in early,
and he tapes a gun under the seat, which only a black person could possibly get done.
Man, oh man.
I didn't write this movie. I just watched it.
you're just deconstructing it through an insane race window.
I think, am I mistaken? Am I mistaken about that?
I don't think you
the
are.
The resourceful black friend.
That kid came in.
I can't believe that other friend wasn't
called
stole in
the
for
car.
Anything.
He stole an 80-year-old
at some point,
car.
At some point, mustn't the writers have been like, hey, how come the black kid both makes fake IDs and has access to guns, and the white kid does nothing? Why don't we make the white kid a fake ID kid? No, it's not believable.
Nope, forget that.
What if the white kid's into guns?
Nope, not believable.
Okay, I guess he'll just disappear after the first couple of scenes, and the black kid will pick
up
all the crimes.
Like really good.
In fairness to the Black Kid, he was also a photo expert and like a forensics expert. Remember, he looks at the photo on the iPad and he's like, this photo's been cropped. Somebody's shoulder doesn't, they want you to see the shoulder. Yeah. It's like,
I also love that they were looking at all these photos on the iPad and then also had hard copies of photos on the desk.
Forensics team.
They really were like really ahead of the iPad curve.
Send my kids
like they're
to
just really looking at, they set the iPad up in a really beautiful way and they're like, look at this, look at this. Like, it was like, it was so ridiculous. So they get on the train and then comes the sex scene, which was so hot.
That was finally not, the sex so scene that was not to be.
This was,
I
mean,
I was watching like child pornography. Like it,
I felt
really,
like a pedophile watching.
Can we talk about the kiss, June? Can we talk about the kiss?
By the way, I want you to know that according to 17.com, which I listened to today, Taylor Lautner says that the kiss was just supposed to be a kiss, but then the director was like, keep going. And that was everything they did there was improvised in the moment.
So him picking her up like by her ass and like putting it,
Don't believe it for a second. Just because of the way the shot was organized. I'm debunking
Well, maybe
that
they did, maybe they did it a couple of times, but the first time they did it.
Well,
but
I think in rehearsal, that's what happened.
He does this thing again to Bella, but also to reinforce my point about him possibly being a budding homosexual. He does this where he kisses her and his top lip goes like this and his lower lip comes out from under. He kisses her like this.
I love that you're on a podcast doing a visual bit.
Like a guppy.
He actually kisses like the guy, the new guy on The Bachelor, Ben Flanick, who has a terrible kissing form. It's all lips.
Stay tuned for our next How did this get made, The Bachelor?
Oh, I could talk about that Bachelor show as much. I love that Bachelor show. So they have this makeout scene that's way too long, and it feels like
it's very uncomfortable.
I feel like that girl shouldn't be having sex yet. Like, that's what I feel.
Also, at that age,
so does she. She goes to get a sandwich.
I disagree.
At that age, they're not. Nobody's doing anything like that. Like the moves
they're
doing. No, they're not. They're lifting each other up and slamming each other.
It was like an adult scene.
That's not happening at the age of 17.
I agree with that.
And she goes like. Then he said like. She goes, wow, you're a really good like French kisser. And he's like, well, I learned. They learned from summer camp.
Since eighth grade.
Oh, yeah, he goes, that's because I know what I'm doing now. Yeah.
Here's what's amazing about the scene. They've almost been murdered about 28 times. They're on the run.
His parents have been murdered.
Yes. Everybody he has ever known and loved has died and raised him.
In front of him.
They finally have a moment to themselves. And they close the door to the Amtrak. And she says, remember that time in eighth grade at the boathouse? And he says, maybe. And she, even though he's been chasing her forever, presumably.
He's in love with her.
And now we know that they've had an interaction before.
They had a kiss.
She said she hasn't been to his room since they were in bunk beds.
And earlier in the movie, like, she's walking by him in the hall. And he's like, hey, Tracy, or whatever her name is. Karen. Like, hey, Karen. And she's like, ignored him, like, oh, real smooth move, X-Lax, you know, like I mean, like she clearly, they live across the street, like, they've talked, they have a history that is
did
ignored.
You do a rewrite on this script,
but wait, no, she
right on that.
So they're like, but to follow up on what you're saying, they've almost been killed, they finally have a moment of downtime. She goes, how come when we got back to school you never asked me out?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know, I guess I just thought the summer was the summer. Beat. And she says, are we gonna die? That's her train of thought, is I need to know why he didn't ask me out first.
Yes.
Then I need to ask, are we going to die?
Which I have to say was the most realistic emotional moment for a 17-year-old girl in the whole film.
Then he picks her up.
I have a question I've been wanting to ask you for like 4 years. If we're going to die, I'm going to ask you, why didn't you ever ask me out?
Didn't you like me?
I knew it. Do you want a sandwich? Like, then she's like, fine, fuck it.
Like, and then he goes, he's like, I'm hungry. Not going to let that happen. And then awkward makeout.
Ass grabbing, pushing into the wall. And then she, like you said, breaks it off to go get some snacks.
Yeah.
And then they follow her into the eating car. And when she's in that eating car, she talks to herself. She's like, ooh, he would like this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's numerous people in this movie that talk to themselves out loud in public.
Yes. It's chronic. It's chronic.
I felt like they were trying to show you that she was not going to be a fatty. Like, it was like a message to the girls. Like, she's getting him snacks. She doesn't need to eat anything. Yeah. She needs to keep that form.
And when she says he might like this, it's like a mustard packet.
Yeah, it was. It was like
it's a condiment.
It was a condiment. He might like relish. How do I know? We're just getting to know each other.
So big fight scene on the train. Taylor
I'm
going to
take it just in case.
Wait, before you say big fight scene, big fat doughy
oh, yeah.
Serbian assassin yeah. guy is following her back to their compartment and decides to snatch her just before she gets to the compartment yeah. to ask her what compartment they're in.
Oh yeah, God. Why not just
I have
this really follow, great, follow her?
I have an amazing idea. Yeah. Just keep following her.
These people are like terrible at what they're
she's
doing.
She's carrying then, food. She's probably going back
and,
to that compartment.
And then he puts her. Then he puts her finger in like a cigar cutter. Cutter.
Yeah. He has a portable finger chopper off her.
Tell me. And then she clearly rats, so she's not a good girlfriend. And
she's great at breaking out of that zip tie, though.
Oh yeah, she gets out of that
glass.
So then there's a huge fight. Taylor Lautner throws Adam McKay out the window, and he goes rolling down a hill. They jump off the train, and then comes the best scene ever. Not since Heat have you seen the acting power of Al Pacino and Robert De Niro yes. facing off in a diner. Now we have Molina and Lautner at a diner. Eating milkshakes and hamburgers.
I bet you they shot that scene over 3 days.
Yeah.
I bet that was the whole budget.
Oh, yeah.
The two of them. And it's
acting up a storm.
Acting up a storm, but nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
It's not, no stakes get raised.
The only stakes to get raised are, is your name on that list? What? That's crazy. That's
you got a crazy imagination.
First, Martin the first thing Price. We learn is when they're scrambling back up the hill, the first thing we learn is, had they just offered him on any of the number of phone calls they intercepted, have they just offered them a milkshake shake and a burger, they would have taken it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're dogs that will respond to bait. That was
they really
like,
wanted milkshakes.
I mean, I'd love a milkshake right now. Like, it's been a really long day. Fine. Great. Let's go sit
because they never had to eat that food
we
on
have
the train
access
too.
To a diner. On a dead end.
Sure.
Yes.
That we can guard with snipers.
And even
we
better.
Have, it's right here.
We got it. We'd love you to get kind of meet up there. That'd be great.
But we also would like to meet in front of the biggest window
yes.
possible.
Yeah. I did not get to be the head of the CIA by not sitting in front of plate glass windows.
Yes.
Although,
the least concealed place in the whole diner.
I did love, though, when the Russian and Serbians showed up.
Yes.
The CIA guys start dropping like flies one by one. Then finally they start shooting through that giant plate window. I did love when Molina and the woman were playing dead on the ground.
Yes. They closed their eyes.
I genuinely did love that.
Wait. So they're having their
they look at each other and then they both go.
Close yeah. eyes. Close eyes. But my favorite part is in that
they didn't
that
have
that
time to draw black X's over their heads.
that scene where they are the scene where they are having the heat face off. He goes, "We're looking for a list. To you, it would just be numbers and letters. You would just see it." And then Taylor Lautner, under the table, takes out the phone that he took
checks
from his dad's
it.
Office and is like, looks at it. It's like there's a ton of numbers and letters on this old like Star Trek phone, and, he's
and
like,
they're scrolling.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, got it. Like it's like, and they're scrolling. They're scrolling like there's something
like it's
happening.
The Matrix.
Like the yeah. Matrix is like why would you take it out then?
What was
like,
he taught just to remind us that that's what was going. Well, why? What was he talking about? If it's a polite war of zeros and letters and
who the fuck
it
knows?
It's a cyber war, June. It's a cyber war. It's all about information.
We're all about
gotcha.
We're dealing
it's
with information now, and it's not about land
or about websites.
Oh, zeros and ones. It's
and
about zeros and ones.
And in that scene, he sends away the girl. Alfred Molina sends away the girl. And then when Taylor Lautner meets up with her again, he goes, "All right, so what happened in that scene with him?" He told me there was like a list with like numbers and letters. And I was like, "Oh, cool."
And
I pull out my
it's
phone.
The thing on my phone.
Yeah, and it's like he literally relays the entire scene to her as if we weren't there, the audience. And then
did we ever see him take the cell phone off of the dead guy, or he just happens to have it now?
He just happens to have it.
Just happens to have it.
Why? Who cares?
So now,
his cell phone can also be a listening device, Jason.
So that's the other thing is now.
Yeah.
Not only the guy,
you're never safe.
The guy uses the other guy's cell phone to just activate it and listen.
Yeah,
but that's not possible.
What? Why?
And so now,
how do you know?
The final.
Why are you fighting with me? We are allies.
Not when you don't understand technology and what it can do.
So now the final sequence of the movie takes place at the Pirate Stadium on a game day because Taylor Lautner's taking it into his own hands. And the bad guy's like, "I'll kill all your Facebook friends and even the teachers you don't like." which is so weird. Yeah. So they go in, and then there's a lot of beauty shots of Roberto Clemente.
Yeah. Oh.
A lot of, like,
what was that about?
Quite a man. I think it's like
Roberto Clemente was like a, you know,
he was a humanitarian.
Yeah, and I guess he ties it in. Maybe because Taylor Lautner.
I was trying to figure out, am I supposed to gather something from the fact there's the Roberto Clemente statue, Taylor Lautner's wearing a Roberto Clemente shirt.
Well, they're both Latin American, kind of, right?
It's just the pride of Pittsburgh. I'm telling you, this is the moment where you understand the break that they got by filming in Pittsburgh.
The tax break?
Every single person in the city of Pittsburgh shows up to fill this stadium. There are 7 to 10, like, airplane crane shots of how gorgeous the bridges are in Pittsburgh. Like, they keep cutting away to
during this
action sequence. And I also think the proactive people might have been involved. The whole thing's like a proactive commercial, too. When you see their skin in a certain light, I'm like, it's a proactive
complexion. Do you think there was a conversation between the hair person and Eyebrows McGillicuddy or whatever, Karen, about her hair being down with that hat on? Because she's supposed to
definitely
be in a disguise. Yeah, because she's supposed to be in a disguise.
Yes.
She
and
looks
so
great.
Puts a hat on, but her hair, which is gorgeous and
stunning,
long and flowing.
She's got a great head of hair and a wonderful color.
Of course, she's still calling.
It's a very expensive dye job for Pittsburgh.
Her shoulders.
Yeah, she looks great.
Do you guys think
she was like a young Alyssa
Milano?
This
movie?
Yes, 100%.
Did he really like it, you think?
Do you think that when at the premiere of the movie they handed out popcorn to everybody, and during this scene when the bad guy comes in is like, I love popcorn. I don't understand this game, but I love popcorn. I was like, what the fuck? This guy murdered everybody you know.
Yeah.
He's been waiting his whole life for this moment. He's going to take this list off of a 16-year-old kid. And
he's only been waiting 2 years.
He's
only been waiting 10 days for the list.
Well, also,
only been waiting 10 days for that.
All fair. However, he still would love to understand baseball. That's just not, they just don't have that.
And meanwhile, Taylor Lautner takes that gun that was taped under the seat, has it in his hand, ready and cocked, and then like, I'm going to put this away now.
Yeah.
For later.
Yeah. And then something happens on the field, and the bad guy goes, what did I miss? What did I miss? I don't understand. What did I miss?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the bad guy has the gun, and he's like, you were looking for this?
Oh.
Which was so terrible. Anyway, he escapes. There's another fucking stunt where he runs down a glass elevator.
Who cares? Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah.
That looked fun.
And then Dermot Mulroney shoots the bad guy.
One last thing, though, is when the dad calls him before he goes into the stadium and says, don't go in there, don't go there. The first time he calls, he goes, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me.
It's me.
The man
and Taylor's
I've never,
like, who?
The man I've never.
Yeah. And then he goes, Martin?
I've never met you. Yeah.
He goes, Martin? I was like, this is crazy.
Martin and
that
Nathan.
That was the moment. That was the moment.
That was the moment I realized this movie was terrible.
So then,
about 90 minutes in, I was like, I think this might be bad.
And then
I refuse to finish this picture.
Then the bad guy gets killed because his dad is sniping him up on the roof. And they never meet in person, and Sigourney Weaver's like, I'm going to adopt you. The movie's over.
Despite the fact that they're spending 7 feet from each other.
Yes.
And staring at each other while they're talking.
But he doesn't
but can't
get
feel
to
the stare on each other.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we had some very strong opinions about this movie, but there are some people who think this movie is 5-star worthy. So now it's time for a second opinion. This is from Caddy 7980. She goes, my husband and I watched it and thought we liked it. Good acting and directing, and the story was okay.
Oh, my God.
5 stars. They thought they liked it, and they gave it five stars.
I can't wait to read her Yelp review of Carl's Jr.
Natalie Johnson writes, I love the movie. It was good for teenage boys to watch. Inspiring in some ways. Don't waste your time drinking. Go to the gym. Work out. There is more than life than party.
I love
that. He was working out and drinking heavily.
You
and
never know what's because there's more to life than party. You never know what's ahead of you. So don't waste your time doing something useless. Like, oh yeah, you never know if you'll be a secret agent that
even
will be caught.
You can be blasting Phil Collins' daughter.
And then the final 5-star review comes from Nikki D. Cox, not the actress, I imagine, or maybe it is.
She probably is.
You cannot go wrong in watching this film if for no other reason than to lust after his hotness.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So she'll watch anything he does.
Final thoughts? I think you should see this movie. I think it's worthy of the time spent watching it. It's the acting in it. It's pretty, I think, worthwhile to watch.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty good. Jim. And there are some action in it that is not bad.
No,
like the Maria Bello Jason Isaacs
You're
bad guys fight.
You're in love with Maria Bello.
I like. I am. I do.
You've always liked.
She's amazing. I do love Maria.
I love her
always
too.
Had a thing for Maria.
I really
Bello.
Do.
The directing is really Bobo. But any final thoughts, anybody?
Bobo.
Well, we do find out at the very end why at the boathouse he didn't pursue Bella, which was
why?
Just because he wasn't ready for her.
No.
Oh, did that really happen?
Yeah. He did say it wasn't ready for
oh,
you.
Oh, did you turn off the movie before you got to see the entire Pittsburgh Pirate Stadium empty and
oh,
all
yeah.
those kids
oh,
being allowed to be there?
That's how specific that was.
I'd already come at that point, so I stopped watching.
and then also Sigourney Weaver's like, I'm going to adopt you. And then,
oh, right.
And then he's like, well, first I'm going to hang out with my girlfriend for a bit.
In an empty stadium, even though there are no people on the streets.
And the game was not over. It wasn't like a climax of the game.
Nope.
Oh boy! Oh
you mean
boy.
After Sigourney Weaver says you can come live with me, and then of course there's college, and then maybe graduate school, and then you know whatever it is that you decide to do.
Yeah.
And then Sigourney, in a really upsetting moment, says, "I'm going to go hang out with Bella," and she goes, "Okie dokie." that was tough.
That did not escape. That did not escape my glance. Oh.
Great work, everybody.
Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. You can follow Jessica on Twitter.
I barely Twitter.
All right, but you can listen to her
Jessica
podcast.
Jessica Chavin or Ronna and Beverly.
Okay, and you can hear them on Earwolf here.
Yes.
June, you are Miss June Diane.
Yep.
I am Paul Scheer. Jason's not on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter, guys.
Thanks very much to our engineer, Dustin, for putting this all together. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. Earwolf. The world's dead.
Hey folks, Paul F. Tompkins here, the host of Spontanea Nation. Just wanted to let you know that all month for Pride Month, my show Spontanea Nation features all LGBTQ improvisers and guests. That's right, everybody in the room except me, Eben, and our engineer is someone from the LGBTQ community. And this is not what should happen, but I will tell you this, for this month of Pride, Spontanea Nation has more LGBT guests than any other podcast on the network. And we're very happy to have these fantastic folks. These are some funny, funny, funny episodes with some really wonderful performers. Please do check it out. Spontanea Nation, Mondays from Earwolf.